Good morning. This is Pastor Hooper, and this is for Sunday service. I know you're not used to having me announce it like this. I haven't done this way in a long time. But I had a problem at church in that it wasn't really a problem. I did not switch on my microphone for the recording of the service. So my apologies. But we will go through the service. Just a couple notes. We'll begin with the singing of the hymn. If you would like to sing all verses, you may do so. I will just start us off with the first verse, and then we'll go through the service. So, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We read responsively the introit for this morning, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. As for me, I have set my King on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my Son, today I have begotten you. Praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. At this time, if you'd like to continue with the liturgy, please do so on your own. I'm going to start here with the readings, so if you need to pause this recording, so you can do that, but catch up with me now with the Old Testament reading. The Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah 51, verses 1 through 6. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all who are waste places, and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arm will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us join in reading the gradual. For the Lord, you his saints, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The epistle for this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 11, beginning with verse 33. Oh, the depth and the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, in prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service, then in serving, our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. We join together in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. At this time, you may go ahead and sing Built on the Rock. I will sing the first verse with you. Then you may pause the recording for the sermon and continue singing. Built on the rock, the church shall stand, even when steeples are falling. Built on the rock, the church shall stand, even when steeples are falling. Crumbled have spires in every land, bells still are chiming and calling. Calling the young and old to rest, but above all the souls distressed, longing for rest everlasting. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to read a portion of the epistle lesson that I'm going to base the sermon on this morning. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. St. Paul calls upon us to have and live with minds that are transformed, or we might say just a living transformation. He says a living sacrifice, that we are a living sacrifice. At least that's our spiritual worship. And so he tells us, don't be conformed to this world, but let your minds be transformed. And you know, that's not an easy thing to do if it were left up to us, but thankfully it is not, because we know that Jesus came into this world for us, that he died on the cross for our sins, and he was raised to life. We received adjoining to his own death through our baptism, and we receive his Spirit. And it is by his Spirit that we are led, and the transformation is really the work of God in his mercy. It is through knowing Christ, it is through knowing the love of God, and we are moved by his Spirit to do likewise, to love one another. It's a constant struggle. It's not easy being a Christian. We have outside situations that go on that challenge us. Like in our own society today, we are reminded how our minds are not transformed, that is, that we live this new life that God gives us, that we are destined to fall into our old nature, which ultimately will destroy the faith that we have if it is unchecked, if we do not turn back to God, if we do not seek his forgiveness. But that forgiveness, we must always remember, is always there for us. But we do have our challenges in this day. It's not like the world used to be growing up. You know, when I went to school, a day didn't start without prayer and in the name of Christ. even in history class, I remember the book, my textbook for history, a picture of Jesus, and even the talk about Jesus and world civilization and how his life, you know, changed the world, how his life, his death and resurrection changed, you know, the whole world, really. But that kind of thing is removed from the schools now. Prayer that's led by other students before the school begins. People can still pray, but not corporately like we used to do. God has been removed from sight. Any mention of him is considered to be proselytizing, and therefore is separated by church and state. But what we've done is we've left a generation of young people not knowing who God is or Christ, or that we should be looking to him, or even wanting to inquire further, perhaps by going to a church if they had never been in church. But things are different now, and that curiosity isn't even there because Christ isn't presented in the schools as once he was. Things have changed in other ways as well. No mention of Christ is allowed in certain other situations. And people have gotten used to that. But it's left a void in the world and a darkness that is there because people are living according to the old Adam and not the new person that Christ would have us become in him. He is that source for having a new life. Without him there is no life. There is only death. And we can actually see this being played out in the world today, where people don't seem to be concerned about one another. Their focus is only on themselves. They are turned more and more into themselves and what they think is right, opposed to what God teaches us to be right or wrong. Martin Luther said the transformation of our mind is the most useful knowledge of Christ that a believer can possess. Knowledge of Christ, right? That's where the transformation comes from. But he goes on to say, the preservation of one's own mind is the most harmful resistance to the Holy Spirit. The most harmful resistance to the Holy Spirit. I'm kind of reminded of the story of Pinocchio as I saw it as a child, presented by Disney. You all probably saw it too, I would imagine. But a particular incident in the story of Pinocchio as he pursues his own desires. He winds up in bad company. He's led astray by villainous types. And eventually he befriends this fellow named Candlewick, and they go to Pleasure Island. And as you recall, Pleasure Island, they could do anything that they wanted. Nothing was off limits. So you see different images that are given, that Pinocchio even joins in, smoking a cigar, drinking beer. Not only Pinocchio and his friend, but many other boys who have fallen into this wanting to do their own thing and get away from their parents and get away from all the structure and the rules. So they're on this Pleasure Island. They've got games and Ferris wheels. They can eat anything they want, drink anything they want, do whatever they want. There's a place they can go and start fights. And Pinocchio says, why would I want to do that? And his friend tells him, well, because it's fun. And he says, well, yeah, it sounds like fun. And then they go to this other place. It's a mansion where they can just basically destroy this edifice, destroy the building. And there's this one scene where his friends say, hey, look, a stained glass window. And they throw a rock into the stained glass window. Of course, as you may recall in the story, you know, as they pursue their own pleasure, all the boys begin being changed. They're turned into beasts. They're turned into donkeys. And they will later be sold into slavery as beasts of burdens, where they will die. It's a tragic story. It's enough to make you not want to seek your own way. And that was the point of the story by the author, was to teach children, to live a good life, to be responsible, to care for others, and not be selfish, to do hard work and not just pass it up for what looks like free, because really in the world nothing is free. Everything has a cost. And so it is also if we are not transformed in our minds and we conform more and more to this world, the old mindset, we run the risk of losing our faith. We know that there are many forces outside the church that seek the church's destruction or its demise, its falling apart. The more and more it can be minimized in society feels like the world would be a better place. But we know differently because Jesus, John tells us, is the light of the world. That only through Jesus we have life. And life, that life is precious. Jesus Christ is our light. He is our life. And we should have none other. It is through always keeping Jesus in our vision, always front and center before us. Jesus, the Savior who loves us and guides us and protects us. We look to the cross and remember the cost of our salvation. Jesus in today's gospel mentions something to the disciples, especially after Peter confesses that he is the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus says, this confession is the rock that the church is built upon. It is the foundation. And not even the gates of hell will be able to withstand this confession, this gospel. And you know, rather than getting dismayed about the way the world is becoming, is to instead look and remember our Savior. Look and remember that the world isn't winning. We are more than conquerors, St. Paul says, because of the victory of our Lord Jesus. We are heirs, co-heirs with Christ. The kingdom of heaven belongs to us, only to those who are in Christ. Christ doesn't promise this to any other religion in the world, not one other religion, just those who are followers of him. He tells Peter something very important in the gospel lesson, and that is that the confession that he makes of who Christ is wasn't revealed to him or the other disciples through flesh and blood, but by the will of the Father. The same is for us as well. We never and have never had that opportunity to see Jesus in his flesh and blood, even though the disciples did, yet that's not the reason they believed and confessed him to be the Christ, the Son of God. It is because the Father opened their eyes and their hearts to believe. Their minds, their hearts were being transformed. And it is that way for all those who hear and believe that confession and speak that word also. Their minds and hearts are being transformed. That is our spiritual worship. We are called to serve one another in love, to help one another and build up one another. Our service isn't to ourselves, but to others. That's our spiritual worship. That, in fact, is our thanksgiving to God. It is from our heart that we do this. It isn't because we are trying to earn a single thing. It isn't that. It's our thankfulness in Christ. We have nothing that we can go to before God. We cannot bring anything to Him other than ourselves. We can go to Him and we can lay down before Him our sins and ask Him to forgive us. And He is always quick to forgive. And He lifts us up so that we can go forward beyond the walls of our church because we are His body. And Christ has given us all special gifts that we can use. They may not seem special to you, but they may seem quite ordinary. And that's okay. The things that St. Paul mentioned are quite ordinary in many ways. And yet, when they are done, they are to be done to the best of our abilities, to do them with compassion, to do them with our heart. And He expresses that in the words that He speaks to us. And we can do those things. Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail against this confession, this faith that you and I have. And what that means is that we are to go beyond our walls of our church buildings. We are to go into the world wherever we are, and we are to live lives that praise God. We are to be different. We are not to join the world in its way of talk. We are not to join the world in its way of having fun and pleasure. We are to be different, and we look to Christ for the true joy, the real joy that comes from Him. We are not dependent on our righteousness, because in our baptism, where we are crucified with our Lord, we are also clothed in His righteousness. We are empty of ourselves. There's nothing good in us, but for those who know Christ, we have Him. He comes into us and He gives us His righteousness. He changes our minds. He changes our hearts so that we seek what is right in all kinds of trials. We know what He has called us to do and to be. We are to be light in the world. We are to go to the world who does not know Christ, who are living in death. And we are to bring them the light and life of the world. We do that through our actions. We do that through our speech. We do that by setting to the world an example of our Lord Jesus, of our God. And when we do those things, we bring praise and glory to our Father who is in heaven and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be these kinds of new people. And the gates of hell cannot stand against you and me, because God is the one who is our captain, and He leads us into a spiritual kind of war. But it's not a war fought with guns and swords and knives, but it is fought with the Word of God. In that Word, we speak love to one another. And in that, we find ourselves standing firmly in our faith, not moved, not shaken by anything that happens around us, because we know our Lord Jesus is solid. He is firm. He is the rock. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. We join in the prayers of the church. Having heard the word proclaimed, let us pray for ourselves, for all the faithful, and for all the people as they have need. For all people, that they may have faith in Christ, and heed the voice of God calling by his word. For the church, that the people of God may pursue righteousness with peace and joy in their hearts, and for all pastors and their ministry of word and sacrament, and for all vocations to the ministry, that the lives of God's people may rebound to his praise and glory, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our President, Congress, Governor, and all civic leaders in their pursuit of peace and unity, for all judges and magistrates in their pursuit of justice and mercy, and for those who protect us from violence and preserve order here and everywhere, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all noble professions and for the flourishing of the arts and music, for favorable weather and the fruits of the earth, and for those unemployed, the poor, the homeless, the hungry, and all people in need, for those who live on the Gulf Coast who are threatened by two tropical storms that are moving up towards land. We pray, Lord, that you would keep these storms from becoming significant and causing harm. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all families and children, single adults and youth, for those who teach and those who learn, that they may advance in wisdom and grace, and for the catechumens and those who teach the faith to them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For victims of disaster and for those stricken by illness and infirmity, for the aged and infirm, as well as those in nursing homes and assisted living facilities, for those who grieve the loss of those whom they love, and for those who meet with sudden death. Especially, Lord, we pray for those whom we now name from our hearts. For the work of God's kingdom in this place, for our faithful support of the church and the renewal of our parish life through the means of grace, for our communion when we celebrate it on those Sundays in which we celebrate the life-giving body and blood of Christ, and for our growth in grace that we may attain to the full stature of Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Be merciful to us, O Lord, and hear our prayers. Grant to us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may be led into all truth and be steadfast in the confession of Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.